Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, I was reading reports about Putin rushing to the Kremlin on Sunday night, and people were speculating about this. What would be so urgent as to cause him to do that? Did it have anything to do with the aid package passing? Have you heard anything about that?
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. I saw those reports, and you know, it could be Russian theatrics, you know, try, you know, in the Russian mind of you know, how to control the narratives. You know, do we know for sure that it was actually Putin? You know, can we verify that? But sure, this is exactly the sort of story that Russia wants to project. You know, oh, Putin racing to the Kremlin, you know, in response to the U.S. House getting tough, you know, and say we're going to send money, we're going to support Ukraine. You know, this is sort of is out of the Kremlin playbook. And I think, you know, we can expect this usual pattern. You know, because certainly what happened on Saturday in Washington is extraordinary. And, you know, I've been talking with people behind the scenes since then. You know, if you read most news accounts, they say that Mike Johnson the Speaker of the House must have changed his mind because he saw intelligence reports. And perhaps so. But what I've learned by what happened the past weeks, Ukrainian evangelical Christian leaders went to Washington, D.C., and many of them met with Speaker Johnson and other members of Congress. And they said, look, Russians are killing us. You know, we have so much evidence of this. For example, in the city of Melitopol, which means city of honey, which has been occupied by Russians since nearly the beginning of this full-scale invasion, every single non-Orthodox Christian church has been shut down or destroyed. Russians either convert them to Russian cultural centers, or they just destroy it entirely. And this has been happening throughout, you know, occupied areas and areas near the front line. But Russians have been, you know, they have a special animus toward not just Catholics and Ukrainian Orthodox, but especially to evangelical Christians. And so what I learned is that Ukrainian Christian leaders went to Washington and they urged the speaker to start paying attention to it. And, you know, Mike Johnson comes from a very evangelical district in Louisiana. And so I think that was something that really changed his mind. And if you see, the Mike Johnson that spoke over the weekend, it was a different Mike Johnson who was talking about Ukraine last fall. And very interestingly, you know, Mike Johnson's being attacked in Russian media and Russian social media and in American corners. I mean, Tucker Carlson on Joe Rogan's show said that Speaker Johnson is weak and therefore susceptible to evil. And Tucker today or yesterday, some people were sending me links to his Joe Rogan conversation. He was claiming that Russian, you know, that Ukrainians are attacking Christians when it's really the opposite. And this has been the playbook of the Kremlin going back to the Soviet days. You know, they can do horrible things and they claim that the enemy's doing exactly what they are doing. And as another reminder of how Moscow is still in this Soviet mentality, in this Bolshevik mentality, Ukraine had a good success the other day. They destroyed yet another Russian part of the Russian Black Sea Fleet. It was a submarine salvage ship destroyed by a Ukrainian Neptune anti-cruise missile, which Ukrainians are producing more and more. Another sign of Ukrainians finding some self-sufficiency here. But the name of that ship was Komuna, a communist. And the Russians have never, you know, we might think that they abandoned their Stalinist and Bolshevik past, and they haven't. One of the main air bases from which Russia attacks Ukraine is called Ingalls, named after Karl Marx's friend. You know, they wrote the Marx Ingalls ideology together. So those things are just sort of interesting to look at. But when you look at actually, you know, what happens in occupied Ukrainian territories, what happens to Christians that, you know, that are not part of the Russian-approved state church, which, by the way, was created by Joseph Stalin. Because with the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, religion was banned. But then when Stalin came to power, he realized that he needed some kind of religion to control the people. And so that's been the story of what's been happening there. In fact, I have a friend who had a Ukrainian friend who had a piece in the Christian Post in the USA. Ruslan, I can't say his name very well, Kukarchuk. But he pointed out, if you look at statistics in 2019, before the pandemic, he just looked at one, statistics for one day. I'm not sure how they obtained these statistics, but both from Russia and from Ukraine. And on Easter in 2019, 6.7 million Ukrainian Orthodox people went to church. And according to this polling information, on that same day, 4.3 million Russian Orthodox went to church. Russia is more than three times the size of Ukraine. And so this is really the reality that has been obscured, that Ukraine is this, you know, very deeply religious country. And in fact, today is St. George's Day, which is the patron, the St. George is the patron saint of Lviv. There's a big statue of St. George slaying the dragon. And I think in an intentionally symbolic move, the United Kingdom today announced more than $500 million of support for Ukraine. Now, that's not just cash. A lot of that is, you know, in the form of weapons, 400 vehicles, 1,600 munitions, and 4 million rounds of ammunition. And so this is notable because St. George's Day is the national holiday of England, and the day of slaying the dragon. And so perhaps there was some intentionality to it. But also, as we look, I mean, today is the day the U.S. Senate is returning to Washington, and today they will be expected to pass the bill that the House put forward finally after months of delay over the weekend, and a bill which, by the way, is strengthened. Surprisingly, the Republicans added to the bill that they wanted the White House to send long-range weapons and attack-ins to Ukraine. And if the Senate passes that today, there's going to be a lot more support on the way to Ukraine. But I think we're seeing maybe a little bit of a turning point. $500 million from the United Kingdom, and Germany today, which has been often reluctant to send long-range weapons and very powerful systems to Ukraine. Germany today is urging the United States to send at least one more Patriot missile defense system to Ukraine. So we're seeing on this St. George's Day in Lviv, there's a lot of positive news to report.
Yes, that's the largest ever package for Kyiv that the United Kingdom has ever sent. And I'm surprised we're not hearing more about that in news reports today. Maybe we will, because the British Prime Minister will be talking about that, I believe, in Poland later today. So that should be bigger news. Aren't you surprised we haven't heard more about that so far?
Yeah, I mean, maybe we will. I think a lot of the focus is on Washington, even though it's expected that, of course, the Senate will approve this bill. But I mean, that's the challenge for Ukrainians, is to, you know, punch through the news cycles and make sure, because these are signs that there's momentum and people believe that this can work. And I think this is because of what happened in Washington. And so we can see a chain of events. And had those evangelical leaders from Ukraine not found a way to meet Mike Johnson, we might not be talking about these stories today. Despite all this, of course, you know, there's still very difficult things in Odessa. The past days, almost every day for the past several days, Russians have been attacking Odessa city and region. They're hitting the port infrastructure. You know, Ukrainians have been exporting more grain through the Black Sea now by fighting back than they did when they had the deal with the United Nations and Russia. And so the Russians are trying to find ways to stop this. But the trade is flowing through the Black Sea. And so the Russians the past few days have been pounding port infrastructure and other types of, you know, sort of grain supply infrastructure there in Odessa. And then yesterday in Kharkiv, you know, that city that I know so well, it was a difficult, I mean, it's often difficult there. This beautiful spring day, the main TV tower, the main communications tower, the Russians precisely hit it, which is causing a lot of communications difficulties in Kharkiv. And I saw a video from friends from their office, and you can just see this one of the tallest structures in the city falling over. And you know, the Russians know, you know, the strength of Ukrainians is their ability to communicate with each other. So that's something they're trying to take out in Kharkiv.
Yeah, I saw that video myself. Well, let's hope the momentum still swings your way there, Ukraine. Thank you, Joseph. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. I'm running to catch a train. Until tomorrow.
Safe travels.